Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes!
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The crowd was singing high.
Yo, it is another edition of the IOS podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. 15-1, Fritzy. How you doing, pal? Trey Turner, not a great shortstop, huh, pal?
Just begging for him to be the center fielder next year.
I'm begging for him to be an angel next year.
Yeah. Well, he did go 3-for-4 yesterday, so he did his job.
Ooh, great.
Yeah. Impressive. Yeah. So that was about, and listen, I pride myself in being someone that will watch 9 innings and go back and rewatch it. That was an easy turnoff after the 4th. I could not watch Chris Sanchez get pummeled like that. It was a jarring experience. Trey Turner was bad. I get it. Sanchez was terrible yesterday.
He was bad too. I agree. Yeah. You
know, I think there's so much like.
I think he would have given up runs regardless. Trey just started, opened the floodgates.
All earned though. All earned with all those misplays in the
infield. Sure. Sounds right.
It's the letter of the law, my friend. It's the letter of the law.
Yes. So. In today's baseball, that is correct. Yes.
Well, I would argue that it's been the history of the sport that, you know, you can't assume a double play ball.
No, I know you can't. You can't. That's fair.
Thank you. 215-592-94.
We are definitely at a time in this sport where there are hits that are errors and vice versa.
Unless your name is Jacob Mizorowski, then it does not matter for you. But honestly, I am so consumed with the draft I was way more annoyed with Sunday than I was yesterday. Yesterday sucked. It was brutal. Sanchez, here there's three outcomes that happened with Chris Sanchez yesterday. It's that blister or whatever happened last time where he was bleeding and that acted up on him. B, he was tipping because I've never seen his fastball get squared up like that. They were on every single one of his fastballs. He wasn't fooling anyone. It was a little concerning. He was like 93 at one point, but I think he kind of just was done with the outing at that point. So those are the first two options of what happened with Chris Sanchez yesterday. Or the third option is that we are just dealing with a dead arm slash fatigue slash maybe the adjusting to the new balls, because the crispness in which that Chris Sanchez usually has, the deception he usually has, it didn't look like he had any of it yesterday. And really, he hasn't looked himself for the last month. I mean, he's had his good outings. He's had his even really, really good outings. But even those are mixed with not the best command, more contact than you're used to watching Chris Sanchez. And obviously, there's a come down from 50 2/3 scoreless. That's completely natural. I have a worry given the amount of innings he pitched last year, the run that he was on to start this year, of a little bit of a fatigue starting to kick in for Chris Sanchez.
Yeah, you hope it's just a dead arm thing. I mean, you know, we know pitchers go through that all the time. But I mean, if it is something that persists, if it's something where, you know, it's just too many innings the last couple of years, and he's just not going to get back there without an offseason to recover or whatever. That's a problem. I think the one thing that Phillies fans have felt really confident in is Sanchez and Wheeler at the top of the rotation. I think everything else, you know, that the offense, you feel good about Schwarber and Harper, but in general, the offense and you know, Marsh, but been hit or miss, you know, good moments, bad. The bullpen has been more miss than hit. You know, the top of the rotation is that the hallmark of this team. It's the thing that people count on. So, you know, I'm not concerned long term. I think it's more likely a dead arm thing than anything, but it definitely is a little concerning right now.
Yeah. I mean, and especially, you know, Wheeler's last time out wasn't the most crisp as well. But I also think that this is sort of natural. It's just something that I think does happen. If it's the blister thing, I think that's actually the best case scenario because, well, I guess blisters can persist. But I think that if it's something like that, maybe that's something that can kind of go away, be remedied during the All-Star break. I know he's probably going to start the All-Star game. Hopefully that does not change after what happened yesterday.
Well, it seems like Mizorowski's pitching on Sunday, so that helps.
Yeah. And I also don't think it has to be factored into the difference in the baseballs. You know, early in the season, there were different balls. It looked as if that he was more sharp. It looked like he had more action within the strike zone. And it just, his stuff yesterday was so flat. I also, on top of that, I've never seen his fastball get squared up. It got squared up yesterday. Maybe he's lost a little bit of feel for the changeup. You know, he's been throwing it harder and harder. I think that might be causing it to not move as much. So hitters have a better idea of what's coming. But he's usually someone so good with fastball and changeup coming out of the same arm slot that he usually catches them all off. Hitters can't sit on one pitch because you don't know which one's coming, and all of a sudden the changeup's like 10 miles an hour softer than the fastball. So it was a jarring experience. It was a jarring experience watching a dreadful offense do that to Chris Sanchez yesterday.
Yeah, it wasn't good. And like you said, Wheeler's last start wasn't great, but good prior. What do you think of Nola? I thought it was actually like an okay start from Nola, 7 innings,
okay.
3 runs.
I think, yeah, are you kidding
great,
me?
Great yeah. start for him. Yes.
What, are you yeah. crazy? Yeah. I mean, in this day and age, oh my God, that's better than a no-hitter. That's way more impressive than a no-hitter. What, are you crazy? Like, that was a miracle. We witnessed a miracle in Kansas City over the weekend, folks. I mean, that was the eighth wonder of the world, watching Aaron Nola give us 7 high-quality innings. I mean, Nola outpitched Chris Sanchez this weekend.
Yeah.
That's not how it's supposed to work. No, I thought Nola was great. It's you know, you're trying not to fall for the banana in the tailpipe with Nola. But I will say, that start got blown up. That was kind of the outlier of what is.
Oh yes, that's good.
We're back in
with a movie quote in there too. The banana in the tailpipe. Look at you.
Hold on, we're back to what, 12 out of 18 starts this year, 3 earned runs or less. Kind of just doing his job. Kind of just doing his job. If you really think about it. If you really you thought he needed
good
an
spin.
Opener.
Good
you thought
spin.
He needed an opener. My tush.
Okay, it's good. thanks, Dad Fritz. That's good.
Yeah. It's been a big dad morning. We've the last 2 mornings. So Walker has started his swim lessons.
I remember those days.
Oh,
there's no better feeling than once your kid learns how to swim, because there is no worse feeling than just constant vigilance when your kid is in the pool when they don't know how to swim. Yeah. It's like just constant panic.
God, all the time.
Horrible.
All the time. Yeah, so I feel like I've just been in this. I feel like I'm a motivational speaker of the last 2 days. Like, you got this. You're a superstar.
Yeah.
You're gonna. So that's why maybe there's a little bit of heightened excitement about Aaron Nola's 7 dominant innings against the
sure.
one of the worst teams in baseball over the weekend.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah. How did they lose 15?
Oh my God, dude! It was painful. Every inning. The Royals scored in every inning.
Did they really?
Yeah. I mean, they didn't have to bat in the ninth, but all 8 innings they batted in, they scored runs. So that's fine.
Yeah, again, I was trying to get ready for dinner. I was like, I'm not dealing with this nonsense today. Not today.
So before we move on from Sanchez, are you at all concerned moving forward? Where are you at with it? Because, you know, you said what you hope it is, but what do you think it is?
It's not concern. It's more, I think there's going to be a little bit of a bumpy patch. Like, we might be experiencing some turbulence with Chris Sanchez. And then I fully expect September, and he's going to round right back into form. Like, I was partially concerned that the velocity was down a little bit yesterday. That's where I think that this could be a fatigue thing for him. Maybe, God forbid, maybe they could give him a little bit of a phantom IL to rest up and make sure he's good for the stretch run, like the Dodgers do with all their starters. They just give him a month off in the season. The Phillies can't do that, as it currently is stated. And obviously he wants to win the Cy Young, even though that might have ended yesterday. But no, I'm not concerned. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm about a 3.
Okay.
But I do think that there is going to be some turbulence here, because if the Royals were squaring him up that way, I worry about some of the other offenses in baseball. But again, I think he has built up such goodwill here that I'm not going to slam the panic button on Chris Sanchez until there's certainly more data, I guess.
Yeah, I agree with that. What about Zeus? Fully back? Fully trust? We're like fully good now?
Yeah, I mean, the Zeus season's so weird, because the way he's talked about is that he's
like barely a good pitcher. It's like, wow,
we sure? Guess he's okay. Sure, he's a 3. It's like, yeah, I think many teams sign up to have Jesus Lazardo to be their number 3. I think his ERA is 3.6 now, which is awesome. I thought he was totally in command in this start. And again, I think he is starting to do more and more of the take some off of his fastball and then jack it up a little bit when he feels like he needs to. And I think that will help him be competitive in the strike zone, because when he's competitive in the strike zone, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. What causes Lizardo to just fall apart is when he's all over the place, and all of a sudden it's every count feels like it's 3-1, and that's when he has to make pitches or walk guys. And I think that by taking down some of the velocity to get in the strike zone, that at least will, because like his stuff can play at 94. It's still, like, it can still work because of everything else that he's got going on right now. The sweeper, like, is one of the best pitchers in baseball. The changeup is really, I think, taking a step forward this year. So I thought Lizardo was in complete control of that game. And it was nice to see them, at least in that one, just not let the Royals up for air. Because there's sometimes when Lizardo lets the opponent up for air, and you're like, ah, oh, no, like, here comes that big inning. But that, like, he stepped on a throat on Saturday, and they needed him to. He's always going to have one of those. If he can just settle into this rhythm where he has 4 great starts and then a blow up, and then 4 great starts.
Yeah, we're fine with that.
You live with it. You live with it.
All right, couple more things. I'll give you a lot of time to draft up. Don't worry. Two more things.
I am going to do the guys I love, guys that talk.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to do the whole thing. Don't worry, okay. We're going to do it. Two more things, then we'll get to it. One is the bullpen. Alvarado, again, struggling. Banksy brought back up, thrilling stuff. I mean, where are we at with this bullpen? Alex McFarland still dealing in the minors, no big deal.
Nah, don't need him. Don't need him.
No. Where are you at? What, like... I know that we're over a month away, a month and a half away. No, a month away from the deadline, like a little under a month away, excuse me. Are they just kind of playing this out till then, and they're going to trade for someone? Is Brad Keller coming back? What's going on?
Well, Brad Keller is probably going to be back this week, which is, I've never missed Brad. I don't think Brad Keller's own family has missed Brad Keller as much as I currently miss Brad Keller.
And he wasn't even that good.
He wasn't good. He was brutal. We all remember the Brad Keller experience, but he's back. First off, Mattingly's bullpen management, of all the good things with him that he has brought to this team, and we talked about it, we waxed poetic about him last podcast. Yeah. The bullpen stuff is frustrating. Sunday was really frustrating. It was a 1-run game, and we're bringing Seth Johnson in. And then Now, yesterday's not his fault, and I know Sanchi had to wear that a little bit. They don't have an off day this week, so you got to keep trotting him out there and hoping that he can right the ship a little bit. But yeah, so the bullpen has reached the point where you're kind of just hanging on for dear life. Alvarado will have his outings where he's fine, but mostly you're walking a tightrope with him. Kirkering's mostly fine, but still in a tight game, you're worried. Bolin has all the underlying metrics of a future stud, but hasn't just totally put it together yet. I still trust him more than most. It's just when Keller at least comes back, you are so tired.
I'm so tired. I'm trying my best. I'm doing it. I'm here. I'm powering through, buddy.
When
it's been a long week.
I know. It's all good. When Keller comes back, like that's Kirkering in a one-run game down rather than Seth Johnson and the law firm of Johnson and Backus. The second that happened, it was like, well, this is getting ballooned. There's no chance that they're going to hold it to one. Mm-hmm. I mean, Backus has been just horrendous.
Awful. What a shame.
Well, because he was showing signs of life before Thompson got fired, and then Thompson ran him in the ground 5 out of 7 games, I think he pitched in. And then, yeah, Backus has been horrendous. Banks, I don't think he gets outs in the PSAC. I'm back to that.
We're back. You were always right about him.
Mesa's fine. He's a third left.
You got two PSAC guys now, though. Trevino's back.
Doesn't have it anymore. Doesn't have it anymore. Yeah. So it's a bit of a hope and a prayer. Now, I think I'll be curious to see if Keller comes back and how that changes the bullpen hierarchy heading into the trade deadline. But certainly, and of course, it's right after a Nola start. We're like, okay, bullpen and the bat's all we need.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is they probably need all three if they want to go win a World Series, and we'll see how much of a stomach they have for them. The Alex McFarland thing is infuriating. it's so infuriating, and it's pretty insulting, actually. Like, this is a guy who is throwing 102 at AA, 102. And they are so convinced that he can't help the big league club, and it's better off just keeping him there, keeping his numbers down, not subjecting him to the AAA ball, because we're going to trade for someone. If Alex McFarland goes elsewhere and turns into a legitimate late-inning bullpen piece, I'm going to blow a gasket. He's nasty, and we've been dying for homegrown bullpen pieces to where you don't have to go out and spend $22 million on Brad Keller. You can bring up your own guys like a lot of other big boy organizations do, and you can see what they are. But we're trotting out Seth Johnson, who has been up and down. He's been on the highway. What is that, the Blue Route? He's been on the Blue Route 7 times in the last 3 years. He's okay. But you have someone who you drafted, who is showing signs of life, who has been disgusting for the Reading Phils, and you're not even giving him a shot because you're so convinced that he's not that good, and you're just going to flip him at the trade deadline. You better be right, because the slop that we're watching at the back of this bullpen right now is really, really frustrating. But it feels like McFarland has leveled up. He touched 102 the other day. We can count on
that's fast
on two hands the amount of may one hand the amount of Phillies that we've seen throw 102 miles an hour. I just, man, they better be right, because if he goes elsewhere, they trade him and he turns into a back end piece that could have helped you. It would be infuriating.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you. I got nothing out of that. All right, last thing before we get to the floor is yours with the draft and all of it. The All-Stars. Look, we thought they should get 6. They got 5 of the 6. And we're furious because how is Zach Wheeler not an All-Star? Like, what the hell are we doing? How is Logan Webb the second Giants All-Star when his ERA is 1.5 higher? His whip is like 117 to 0.94 for Wheeler. He's almost pitched the same amount of innings as Logan Webb. Like, I get the innings thing. Makes no sense, Jack. Now, he'll get in because Mizorowski's people won't be able to do it. But, like,
Yeah, that's not
what,
the point.
What were we thinking here? What is happening?
I guess they're just penalizing for missing the first month of the season.
I think it's that, and I think it's also that the no other team had five. It was five was the most. I think they didn't want to give the Phillies six people. I think that's what it is.
Well, we got studs. What do you want us to do? I mean, we got stars up and down the lineup. I don't know. What's frustrating to me is how do you not reward the guy for what he's been through and what he's come back from? Like, that's what irked me. He's been great. And you would think that as someone who has been one of the faces of pitching in baseball, I don't expect them to know how many times he's gotten slighted, you know, coming in second in Cy Young and things like that. That's whatever. But to not reward him for coming back from having a blood clot in his shoulder to look exactly the same and be just as dominant, I think that's actually a big old miss from a human interest standpoint.
Totally agree.
By Major League Baseball. And that's the frustrating part for me. He'll get in. That's not the issue. We know that. We know he's an all-star. But this is a guy who it feels like he's actually been slighted a good amount for as great as he has been. So, yeah, it's one of those things where they already have a lot of all-stars. It's cool. But I think he's the one. I wanted Harper to make it because
Harper, yeah, great. Just the history and the
yeah, yeah. But he was the one that I wanted to make it almost more than anyone. And I don't know. I thought it was just I thought it was a real bad look by Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm happy Harper got in. It is ironic after last year and the him and Manfred thing and like the kind of, you know, back and forth that Rob Manfred is putting him in. He would have made it on merit anyway, but I think it's the right move to get another person in that way and use that commissioner's thing or whatever to get Harper in.
Yeah.
But Harper should be there. I think he has to be there. I thought it was insane that Zach Wheeler wasn't there.
I kept looking at the screen and I was like, well where's Wheeler?
Yeah, it just is crazy. I think it came down to the six and that it was the easiest to penalize him, but it just, to your point, I think it's actually like, I think it's an actual slap in his face. And it's just constantly, that's the whole point I made with starting the All-Star game. I feel like Wheeler has constantly been shortchanged his entire career. He's talked about it too. Like maybe it was when he won the Gold Glove or whatever, but he talked about it. He's like, I don't get a lot of stuff. Like I don't usually win things. It matters to win things every once in a while. And you know, that sucks that he feels that way because he should have won more than he's won. Like he never won anything, you know?
No, I know. And of course the one thing he wins is a Gold Glove.
Which is so silly. When he went, especially when Ranger was on the team, it was just like, okay.
And everyone even on the team are like, well, Ranger's a
of course. Yes. It was only because Ranger didn't qualify by like 2/3 of an inning or whatever it was. It was like, all right, well, that was dumb.
Yeah. He had a better case to start the All-Star game than not make it.
100% agree. Yes.
Yeah, great way to put it, dude.
That's a really good way to put it.
Yeah. And that's the crazy part. That is the crazy part. All right.
Let's do. And by the way, I am at not to just focus on the other. It is cool the other five made it, and the fact that Brandon Marsh is starting is really cool because you know, like Freddie Freeman starting because he's Freddie Freeman, not because he's the best first baseman in the National League this year. Not that he's been bad. Brandon Marsh is starting because he's been one of the three best outfielders in the National League, and it's cool that he got that kind of recognition. So shout out to Marshy.
Yeah, and he's going to get a huge
a mass. I mean, he's the only Philly starting. Well, I guess Sanchez might too. We'll see.
Yeah, Sanchez probably will start, but
yeah,
it's a huge honor for him, and you're just proud of what he has worked through and what he's become.
Totally. It's unbelievable.
And when we start adding up Dombrowski's resume,
talk about that one. That's a big one.
We now could put the Marsh trade on it. So it's not only just like, hey, he signed Schwarber. That was good. Hey, trade for Edmundo Sosa. That was good. Now I think we got the Marsh trade and we got Lizardo. Those are the four big wins of the Dave Dombrowski tenure as Philly's GM. All right. President of baseball operations. Mm-hmm. Very, very sorry. Man, it kind of feels like they're limping towards the end of the first half, doesn't it?
It does a little bit. Yeah, no, it is. We still got time, but it does feel like they're limping a bit. Yeah,
I mean, they got Burns and Scooble this week, so that'll be interesting.
Is it the Tigers after? So I know it's the Reds. It's the Tigers.
Yeah. So that'll be good. And speaking of Wheeler, he's on the mound tonight.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you could bet on a no-hitter, maybe. Like, just see if you can find that on any of your gambling apps out there, just to see what the odds are. I feel like the slight Mattingly pulling him last time,
mm-hmm.
we might get – he might throw 98 first pitch.
Yeah, you're right. He's going to come out fired up today.
He's going to be –
right. That's a good call.
He's going to be on fire tonight.
That's a great call, Fritz. You're right.
I can't wait. All right. Let's do – we'll do a little take back first and then get there. And I got the minor league minute. This is just loaded episode. Kick your feet up, pal.
I'll push my nap back even further.
Yes. It won't go that long.
No, I'm joking. It's all good.
So this is part of the minor league minute, but not really because it pertains to the major league squad. Did watch Andrew Painter start up in Lehigh Valley.
Numbers look good.
Numbers look good. He struck out six over six innings, allowed one run, didn't walk anyone. I thought the first three innings were different. I thought they were – that's what you wanted to see. You know, the fastball was down. It had life to it. He had great command. The feel for his off-speed looked back. I thought as he was finishing his motion and the ball was being released, I thought there was a little bit more explosion with his backside to get through the zone a little bit. Very, very important to see that stuff because I think that that's the way that he can generate more extension and more life on that pitch. So first three innings, I thought he was dominant, and it was like, here we go. Okay, that's different. And then the last three innings, it was more contact. I thought he got back to being rotational, and that was causing his fastball to cut a little bit. When I counted it, I really only had three hard hit balls all day, and two were outs. Now, one was a double down the line that gave the Rochester one of the runs. But I think the first three innings were very encouraging. Last three innings looked a little bit like we'd seen from Painter. I think the overall encouraging thing about him so far is that he's not going up there and getting smoked. We saw him last year just get crushed at AAA, and we'd excuse it away. If he went up after what happened in the big leagues this year and got smoked at AAA, it would be, you know, DEFCON. Was one the bad one or is five?
One.
Yeah, yeah. It probably would have been DEFCON one of what the hell is going on with Andrew Painter. Mm-hmm. So him going up there and not getting smoked, I think is important. I would say it was a B+ for Andrew Painter if I was giving it a grade. Good life on that splitter. Now, the splitter was never the issue up here, but I thought he maybe made a little bit of adjustment with that. I thought that was a really, really, really good pitch for him. So I would give it a solid B+ in Andrew Painter up in Lehigh Valley.
I'll take that.
Rincon's is starting to look like a little player.
A little bit.
Big home run. That was good to see. Like, if he can just settle into being a home run walk guy, I mean, he could be something. Now, he's going to have to really have a good month and a half for them not to consider going. Like, even if he has a great month and a half, they should go out and get a real right fielder. But at least he doesn't look as overwhelmed and overmatched as he did his first, like, 2 weeks up here. And they are giving him a lot of runway, and he's starting to take it and go. I mean, every ball he kind of hits now feels like he's putting some thump behind. It's pretty jarring watching a Philly besides like Schwarber and Harper hit the ball really, really hard.
Right?
And he can do that. So some signs of life from Gabriel Rincones, and that's certainly very, very good to see. Boehm had a really solid weekend out there in Kansas City, maybe auditioning for his new team. But, you know, a couple balls that we had one home run, but others that could have gone out. So he had a little bit of a like a 4-for-27 streak before the home run last week. And he really seems like he kind of broke out of that mini slump that he was in and righted the ship there as well. And then something to monitor is this, you know, Schwarber missed the game with the back.
Mm-hmm. And talk about with the derby too, whether he could compete would be based on the back.
And we have not seen the power from him. I mean, he hasn't hit a home run and feels like an eternity. I think it was June 22nd, his last home run.
Wow. Has it been that long?
Well, it was probably 24th because we were at Garage. No, he didn't hit a home run that night. No. So it was 20. So it was before the, it was before Garage. So yeah, the 22nd, 22nd, wow. 23rd, wow. Which is an eternity for him.
It's a long time.
So I wonder if that back is giving him some issues. And if it is, I don't really want him participating in the home run derby.
No, absolutely not. Nope. Nope.
Although, man, Schwarber and Harper both participating in it would be amazing.
I know, but it's can't do it. Nope.
Harper's going to do it. Harper's going to. He'll find someone. Harper will
do it. He'll do it. Yeah, I know. What a nonsense reason. June 28th, Tucker says.
June 28th? Okay. Just a bit off, but still.
Pretty close.
For Schwarber's.
Your point holds. Yeah.
And I did have some hard hit singles, so it's not like.
No, it doesn't cut it.
All right, minor league minute real quick. I did finally send you some Ramon Marquez videos.
Yes, you were like, I need you to understand what I'm talking about. And those guys swanging was like a foot away from the ball. It was ridiculous.
Swang a word?
No, swung. But I said swang. It's fine. We're just going to move past it.
We're going to move past it. Yeah, no, but they did swang and missed it a lot of
those.
They
swang and missed a bunch, all right?
Yeah.
I'm like 20 minutes from a nap, all right, buddy? Come on.
20 minutes. All right. I'll have a 30. No, I'm just kidding. They were missing the changeup by what looked to me like a foot. It wasn't really a foot, but man, they weren't even close. So he had a bit of a clunker his last time out at Jersey Shore. This is his third or fourth start. Two out of the three have been just pure dominant. And it's just, I think that him and Gage are the same. I really do. I think him and Gage are the same level prospect. He's 2 years younger. He's got this special changeup. He's got starter traits. The fastball has taken a step up this year. It's 94, 95, where it was like 92, 93 last year. He added a little bit of a cutter. He's got a big frame to him. They cannot trade Ramon Marquez. They can't. He was dominant in his last start for them. Brian Rincon had a big week. We're back. Very, very important. Very, very important. Brian Rincon got it going this week up in Reading. So he had a big week. Burkholder had a big week.
Huge.
Huge week. He had a homer or two. I think he only went hitless in one game. Those guys had big weeks. And then continuing to be excited about Matthew Fisher. Fisher, the seventh rounder last year. He can really, really spin the baseball. He's one of those guys you got to just dream on, because as it stands right now, like, you watch him, it's pretty good. There's a major league arm in there. But if he can get his fastball velocity is still like 89 to 92. If he can get that to 92 to 95, 93 to 96, he's like a three starter, because he can really, really spin the baseball. Gage was good. He allowed the two home runs, but was Gage-like in the middle. He's one of the best pitching prospects in baseball. There's nothing more to really say. He's not falling off a cliff. I do wonder about him a little bit with some fatigue setting in. He did go five innings. He is up to 52 innings on the year. So we're getting close to the 80 inning kind of first cap of his pitch limit. We'll see how he's feeling at that point, but there's some 93, 94 mixed in there in his last start. So that is certainly one to monitor there with Gage Wood. Francisco Renteria had a pretty good week. Juan Parra had a pretty good week. All the guys just had pretty good weeks. Juan Villavicencio, he had good minor league week.
Okay, good
minor league week. That's the quick rundown.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
All right.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Draft is on Saturday. We'll be on the radio for it.
Yes. We're on, what, 2-6 or something like that on Saturday.
I thought it was like 1-5, but it's probably bumping up against whenever the Phillies play on Saturday.
Yeah. I think it's 2-6, but either way, we're somewhere in that range.
Well, Go Birds is usually, you know.
Go Birds usually won, but I think it's a little later. 2-5:30, which I think Tucker leading off is at 5:30, so I think we are 2-6.
Yeah, 6:10 start right. out there. 6:10.
I was right. Oh, no, so then it is 2-5:30 then. I was wrong with that.
Nice. All right, so draft Saturday. This could obviously it probably won't change. I feel pretty strong about where I'm at with a lot of these guys.
Great.
Let's not.
I'm so excited. Bated breath. Let's go.
Let's not bore people. Let's okay. not bore
Impossible.
People. Impossible. So I start with guys that I'm out on, then guys I talk myself into, and then guys I love, or start with guys I love, guys I talk myself into.
I think you should start. With the lead up to the guys you love. I think you end with your favorites.
Okay.
So save the best for last.
So I'm not out on many. There's two guys I'm out on.
To clarify for people, these are all people who theoretically could potentially fall to the Phillies. You're not talking about people who are going to go in the top 10 or anything.
No. It's strictly for the Phillies. I'm just
letting the listener know.
Yeah. Strictly for the Phillies pick. All right, so I'm only out on two guys, really. Like, I don't think they're going to draft other than whatever. So Aiden Robbins is this outfielder from Texas who's actually a Yardley kid, so he's local, so I'm sorry.
Ooh, I know and, Yardley like, well.
Raw numbers are good. He just chases like Castellanos-ish, and I can't deal with that again. So mm-hmm. I think he's going to get exposed at the next level, so I can't have that. This Becker kid from UVA, he's like this. He's just like a low, like his ceiling's not that high. He's just a solid, competent, shortstop.
Very unexciting. Yeah,
very boring. I don't want boring. We're trying to find a stud at 36. All right, guys, to talk myself into. Brody Bumila is this left-handed pitcher from Massachusetts that throws 100. He's pretty sick. It's just he is getting UCL surgery for the second time.
Great. So, second time.
Can't do that.
That's a tough start.
We're going to put him on the do not draft list. Sean Dunlap, I think, is actually in consideration at the pick. He's ranked super low, but he had a monster performance at the combine. I'm a little concerned because it feels like he's a late bloomer and maybe they'd be talking themselves into what happened at the combine. But when you look at him, I'm surprised he wasn't rated higher. He's like a mm-hmm. catcher, I think he could profile easily to be a third baseman or right fielder. He seems athletic enough. The bat's really, really enticing there. I would easily talk myself into Sean Dunlap, and he would definitely be an underslot candidate. I'm really talking myself into them being underslot at 36. So they can float someone out at 64 as well and try to get a 2-for-1 because they don't have that much money. I think them and the Dodgers have the least, again, heading into the draft. So Sean Dunlap is someone I think at 36 they would take underslot, but there's like legitimate upside there. Logan Redeman, I would talk myself into. I would have concern. He's the ace from UCLA. He was 97-99 for them this year, but then was dealing with arm fatigue. And he was like 93-94 out of the combine. So a little bit of concern there.
Mm-hmm.
But he throws 5 pitches, throws strikes, used to throw hard, was a top 10 pick before the arm fatigue. You could talk yourself into Logan Redeman. Coleman Borthwick is this big, lumbering Lance Lynn prototype. 6'6", just a horse. Got a great fastball, slider, very good. Problem is, he's a big fella. Like, he could be Todd Coffey. He might be Todd Coffey.
Oh, man.
Remember Todd Coffey?
Running in from the bullpen. Of course I remember Todd Coffey. Yeah.
He got a bloody nose running in from the bullpen.
Yeah,
for a Phillies game. Like, he's not that big yet. It's just big Broxton. He reminds me of Broxton, too.
Okay.
Like, if you want to go like one of those big righties.
Sure. Yeah. Lance Lynn was one of those, too.
He was.
That was a good comp, man.
He was. I do really like him. He moves weird. I don't know, but his stuff's sick. And I'm pretty nervous about prep righties. to be honest with you. Ben Blair is sick. He's this righty from Liberty. They're not going to take him because you have to take him at 36, and he's not going to get the 64. They're not going to take him, but I think he's really good, and I would like him. But small school, so I get that. Ethan Washman is a guy that
Malik Willis is.
I know. And they took this guy in 2020 out of there as well that I talked myself into, and he was not very good. Anyway. Ethan Washman is this, he was up to 100 out at the combine. He's kind of aired it out. Really interesting prep righty. I think they would take him at 36 as a underslot candidate. I would talk myself into it, but again, I am pretty out on prep righties and prep arms at the current juncture. I'm very concerned about them. And then the last one I would easily talk myself into, but I don't love him, is Taj Marshan, who is a hit machine. He actually reminds me a little bit of Jacob Wilson. He's a high school shortstop from South Carolina. Just an ugly swing, though. Like, just an ugly swing that I don't know if I've... Like, he gets super proud on his front foot a little bit. I don't know. Like, but he's just a bat-to-ball machine, so I can see why they take him. They like taking bat-to-ball guys and then hope the power comes along with it.
Sure.
So I would talk myself into him, definitely, but he's not my favorite of the shortstop class. And then guys I'd love...
Yes,
this is the big reveal. All right, guys, I love. So Chase Brunson is this center. He can play center.
Jalen's brother.
Could be. So the Brunson name is hot right now. It's going well. I don't think he's going to be there. I think he's going in the 20s, but there could be a chance he's there. But for someone that can make an impact quickly on this team, him and Aiden Robbins are probably the only two right-handed outfield bats that would make sense. You know, Blake Bowen is someone I think they can get at 64, but he's a high school bat, not a more pro-ready bat. I think Chase Brunson could move through the system very, very quickly if he ended up being there at 36, but I don't think he's going to be there. A lot of the underlying numbers are very, very solid on him, so I do very much like him, but I don't think he'll be there. Tyler Spangler, we've talked about.
Yes.
I don't think he's going to be there now. It seems like he has gotten a clean bill of health and will probably go higher than 36. If he's there, I do think the Phillies will take him, but we will see on that. Bo Lawrence, I also don't think he's going to be there, but he's a power-hitting third baseman, a super, super sweet swing, really, really impacts the baseball in a meaningful way. I really like Bo Lawrence. Don't think he's going to be there. Here are the guys that I think could be there. Rocco Maniscalco may not be there, but could be there. He's 17. We've been over it. He is butter in the field, switch hitting shortstop, like had really good exit velocity numbers out at the combine. Would love him. Hope he's there. If he's there, I think they take him. Like, I think if it's him or Spangler, they probably take Spangler over him. But I think Maniscalco is firmly in the mix for that pick. Archer Horn kind of just does everything well. We've talked about him. He's going to be a hard sign away from Stanford. You're probably going to have to give him slot dollars to get him away from Stanford, which may scare them off and maybe have them go in a different direction because they don't have all the money in the world. But like, there's 25 home runs, 280 average, can play shortstop, like just a good, solid big leaguer in Archer Horn. And then the two guys who I'm really, really starting to become a huge, huge fan of, like Maniscalco, I love. I just have questions if he's going to be there. The two guys that are going to be there that I really, really like, one is Cole Prosak, who is, he's 19 on draft day, which is a little annoying. Now, his birthday's in June. It's not his fault, really. He just has this load and hitch in his swing that I think is going to generate a ton. It reminds me a lot of McGonagall. McGonagall had the same kind of little thing he did with his hands. And he gets into such a powerful position so quickly. He had great bat-to-ball numbers in the high school circuit this year. He's probably a third baseman or second baseman. I don't think he can stick at shortstop. He's shown some traits from being he's caught a little bit. He could catch a little bit. Mm-hmm. I really like him. I really, really like him. I think he's got very, very high offense. Yeah, he's like just a brick wall. I mean, that's what he looks like. He just looks like just a physical 6'1" future power hitter. I big fan. And then this is a guy that they would take under slot. And if I had to bet my money on what they're going to do,
this again, is the guy.
Because I think Brunson, I think Spangler, I think Maniscalco will be gone. Horn may or may not. He's been projected 29 to 35-ish. Prozac will probably be there. But if I had to bet my life on what they're going to do, they're going to take Will Brick, a catcher. He's a high school kid. He reclassified from next year's class to this year's class. Now, you would think, okay, he's 17. No, he's 18. He would have been 19 in that draft. So just for 1 year up, it makes more sense to reclassify so that you're more appealing to scouts. He had a bad high school season. Heading into the year, he was viewed as like a top 15 pick.
I love that kind of thing. I love those moves. Take the kid to a rough year, but super talented, high prospect coming in, all that.
So Brian Barber,
I feel like the Eagles do that a lot.
Yeah. So Brian Barber is a pedigree guy. Will Brick will not break the bank. They'll be able to save money, I believe, on him. I think he'll be the Philly slot. I think is about 2.5 or 3 million, and I think he's going to go under that. I think he's more of a 2 million guy. So they can use that. They can float someone to 64 to try to get someone else in the first two rounds. And you take a guy who was going to be a top. Well, it's tough because it's 27. You know what I mean? Right. But he was viewed as a, no doubt about it, first rounder, best catching prospect high school wise since Blake Mitchell, who was a 2023 eighth overall pick or 10th overall pick to the Royals. Really, really good bat to ball skills. You can see him easily learning how to lift the ball more and more. Can stick behind the plate, but I think could easily be a third baseman or right fielder. I don't even really want him behind the plate. Like, I just have no interest in drafting catchers, but, you know, that's a...
Eventually you need a catcher, but I get your point. Yeah.
Well, the Faraboos is coming.
Yeah.
I like Will Brick a lot. I like the underslot. I like going underslot. I like getting someone to 64. They don't have all the money in the world, and if I had to bet my life on what they're going to do, I think that's what they're going to do.
Bill Brick.
I'm in.
Well, yeah. Wood and brick in back-to-back class.
Something. Let's do it. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. This is great. All right. You got anything else?
No.
Okay. I'm going to go nap. With Saturday, 2 to 5:30. Check us out. Call in. We want to talk to all our listeners. We're actually on the radio.
The radio.
And then
probably Friday pod.
Yeah, we'll see. At some point on Friday. I don't know if I can do it. We'll figure it out. It's a stupid Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday series. Not helping anyone.
Well, we could also go immediately after the game on Thursday night, if that'd be easier.
Yeah, it's like 11 o'clock at night. This is great. Thank you.
I'm not Jim. Well, I am off this week, so I'm thinking, but I do still want to get. Yeah. Well, so I think me and Tucker are going to be doing post-game pods all this week. Just so
okay.
Well, because I missed the final out.
I get it.
You know,
we'll figure it out. We'll make some magic happen.
Tucker is replacing Dave from Maryland, who is always my first caller on.
I like that. That's good.
On the final,
out. Tucker is the call.
It is a downgrade, Tucker. You're right. Dave Maryland's a good baseball man.
All right. Well, we'll figure it out. We'll have a popular weekend Saturday, and lots of content coming.
So much content. Dude, I'm already stressed about it. What we're gonna do after the? I'm gonna watch a lot of tape during All Star Week. A lot of college.
Oh yeah, buddy. Oh yeah, you're gonna have to start the whole process over.
A lot of senior signs because we have no money.
Right. Seems like a problem. All right, we'll be back at Friday, I think. All right,
until then,
he's Fritz and Seltzer.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.